Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chatanadavat Vidana Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Anantakoti Vaishnava Pandigaya, Namacharya Srila Sridhas Thakur Kijaya, Prince Kahoshri, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrin Nikajara Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopnath Shayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Vacharanam Kijai Jagannathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Kalasa Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrin Nikajai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Gaur. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namahum Vishnu Padai Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Bhakti Padanta Swami Nandi Namaste Saraswati Devi Gopani Pashani Nibhashesha Shunyavari Paschachate Chantarni. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, again, about Lord Rama's pastimes. Ninth canto, 10th chapter, text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'll just read the text. Akamam prayagi janavishravasovameham trilokyavravanam avannuhi virapatnim vatnihi setum yate yashashovitatyai Yanti de Vijayano Yamupechabu Pava. You can repeat. Kamam. As you like.
As you like.
Prayahi.
Prayahi.
You may go over my water.
You may go over my water.
Jahi.
Prayahi.
Just conquer.
Just conquer.
Avishravasaha.
Avishravasaha.
Avishrava Muni. Avameham.
Avameham.
Pollution like urine.
Trilokya.
For the three worlds. Ravanam. The person known as Ravana.
The cause of weeping.
Avapnuhu.
Regain.
Vira,
Vira,
O great hero,
O great hero,
Patnim,
Patnim,
your wife,
your wife,
Avadnihi,
just construct,
Setum,
Setum,
a bridge,
a bridge,
Iha,
Iha,
here on this water,
here on this water,
Te,
Te,
of your good self,
self.
Yashasaha,
Yashasaha,
fame,
fame.
Vitatyai.
Vitatyai.
To expand.
To expand.
Gayanti.
Gayanti.
Will glorify.
Will glorify.
Dik Vijayanaha.
Dik Vijayanaha.
Great heroes.
Great heroes.
Who have conquered all directions.
Conquered all directions.
Yam.
Yam.
Which bridge.
Which bridge.
Upecha.
Upecha.
Coming near.
Coming near.
Bhupaha.
Bhupaha.
Great kings.
Great kings.
So translation. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Oops, skipped here. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is said that a sun and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a greatly learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Heavy. Goodness. That's the main topic of today's course. But anyway, we'll get back to that. But we're going to tell some other stories. Here, Ravana is compared to urine because he was the cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramchandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. It means all-powerful. The Lord can act with regard, without regard to material impediments or inconveniences, but to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed the bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge, and we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, text 9, Janma karma chami divyam evam yogeti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naitivam eti sojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my parents and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common, they are all transcendently wonderful, and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So there's actually many topics here that Srila Prabhupada was talking about. There are many topics in the commentary and translation, etc. So let's concentrate on a few of them. Of course, let's tell the story first. So after Sita Devi was kidnapped, she was taken to Lanka. Lanka nowadays is known as Sri Lanka or Ceylon, depending on who you are. And it's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that Lanka was actually 800 miles away, for those of you thinking kilometers, about over 1,000 kilometers away. And the present-day Ceylon is not that far away. It's actually, I think, only about 100 miles away or something like that. And the scientist, anyway, so apart from the physical distance, the scientists using their satellites, and taking pictures from the satellites, have ascertained there's an artificial bridge, which they call Adam's Bridge. You've heard about that before. Between India and Ceylon or Sri Lanka. And you can see it's man-made or artificial bridge. And of course, the stones aren't floating anymore. But there is a bridge there between the two countries. And so it's obvious. And also in Lanka, or Ceylon, many people worship Ravana. And Ram is considered to be a bad person. Just like, yeah. Can you imagine that? Because he's their national hero. Just like you have so many national heroes in Croatia, and some of them probably are demons, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just like in America, or let's talk about America right now. So recently there's been a whole move to tear down statues of people. Why would they do that? Statues of our forefathers, our ancestors, our pitas. Why would they do that? Because they're discovering that these particular individuals had clay feet. I don't know what that means. Anyone know that expression? No. That means they have some problem. They appear to be great, but if you actually look into their history, into their lives, they were rascals. And so, I mean, you look at, for example, in America, some of the people who founded the country, you know, people like, you may not know them, Thomas Jefferson, something like that. He kept many slaves. And many of them had children by slaves. So you could see that they weren't, when I was young, they were portrayed as like such great saints. And they weren't. They were actually rascals. With the same desires that everybody else has. It's interesting. You look at different personalities and you think that they're so great or whatever, but they're just filled with lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. They're demons! Sorry about that. Non-empathic. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So in Lanka, some people actually burn an effigy of Lord Ram. Just like we have the celebration of Ram's victory, Vijayotsava. Vijayotsava means the victory, the festival of the victory. And we burn an effigy of Ravana, right? Anyone's done this? You have a big Ravana and you burn it. Actually, I don't agree with that. Not that I like Ravana, but it's Ram that killed Ravana, not us. You know, if you're firing the arrows at Ravana, you're not capable of killing Ravana. It's Ram that killed him. So there was one temple where they had this celebration every year, and something inauspicious happened every year because they were invoking the presence of Ravana. You know, you make a big deity of Ravana, and you do the mantra, Ravanaya Namaha, Rakshasaya Namaha. And you're invoking his presence. So I actually tell the devotees, don't do this. Because it invokes the presence of a demon. And we're not capable of killing a demon. Can you imagine, let's say, on Lord Nrsingadev's appearance day, which is also the disappearance day of who? that we were to make a giant statue of him. You know, just think about it. Make a giant statue of Hiranyakashipu. And then you fight with him? You take his intestines out? Think about it. I mean, sometimes devotees think logically, and most of the times they don't think logically. So, anyway, getting back to the point, so in Lanka they actually burn an effigy of Lord Ram because they think Lord Ram is their enemy and Ravana is their local hero. Not everybody But many people think like that in lockup. So what happened is that Ram wanted to go to Lanka. And actually, before that, he didn't even know where Sita Devi was, which is interesting because Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as Prabhupada describes here in the purport, he's not only omnipotent, which means all-powerful, but he's omniscient, which means he knows everything. So why didn't he know that Sita, who was actually Maya Sita, but that's another story, was in Lanka? And this is because to enjoy the pastime, he forgot his supremacy. And also, when we talk about crossing the ocean, he actually forgot his supremacy in the beginning, too. So what happened is he had to send the monkeys out in all different directions to look for Sita Devi. And fortunately, the monkeys that were sent into the south, or to the south, were monkeys like Sugriva. Actually, not really monkeys. They were Kimpurushas. That means almost like a human being, almost like a monkey. Just like a hairy human being. Neanderthal. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
In Europe, you have Neanderthals. We don't have them. You know, they discovered caves with Neanderthals and carvings, and at one point they say that a Neanderthal got married to a non-Neanderthal, and they had some other species. Anyway, so it was something like that. It was Kimpurusha, like a very hairy person with a tail. That's all right, I did that. So Ram sent Hanuman, Sugriva, and others. And Hanuman was able to leap over the ocean. And there's many stories about that, what happened when Hanuman was leaping over the ocean. And finally he found Sita Devi, burnt Lanka to ashes, but Lanka was later on rebuilt by some of the demons. And then Ram finally arrived on the shore of the ocean, trying to figure out how he would go to Lanka. And first he was thinking, let me just ask the ocean to help me pass. Because here the ocean is speaking in this particular verse. And so he performs austerities for a whole week, trying to convince the ocean, you know, to open up a path. And after the week is over, the ocean doesn't come. So at that point, he takes out his bow and arrows, and he says, that's it, I'm drying up the whole ocean. And so he pulls back his arrow, he gets ready to dry up the whole ocean, and then the ocean comes out. You know, sometimes you got to do that. It's called argumentum ad voculum. Just like yesterday, we were talking about politics. We're talking to a devotee about how to use politics in ISKCON. Politics were rejected by Prahlad Maharaj, but somehow or other, when you're in ISKCON, you got to learn some political tricks. So what Sandana Marka were trying to teach Prahlad Maharaj was different political tricks. First political trick is what sweet words. Mm-hmm. You are so nice. Good boy. You know, just non-empathic. Manipulative. You are a nice devotee. Wow. You are so intelligent. You know, so it was okay. So sometimes, you know, you go to the temple president if you have some disagreement with the centralization. Anyway, I don't want to get too specific. But anyway, if you have some problem with the organization, then you go to the temple president or the GBC and said, wow, I've never seen such a nice GBC as you. Nice temple president, wow. Please sit my patience as your lotus feet. And this is the first way you deal with things. And then the person naturally becomes ingratiated and says, what do you want, my dear Shisha? I would like to open a preaching center. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And everyone who comes will become your disciple. So that's the first way to do things. So the next way is if you have to deal with someone, of course, not all these steps can be utilized in every case. The next step is you give someone a bribe. So you go up to the leader, give him a big donation. All right. That's how many of the temples of the United States have become controlled by members of our congregation. It's true. I'm sure if I came to Croatia and gave a big donation, I could again become GBC. Yes. It was Slovenia, my work too. So I am GBC in Slovenia. So that's called a bribe. We mentioned about bribes yesterday, right? How we had to bribe someone coming into the country one time because we didn't have the proper insurance papers. So then after that, then depending on the situation, you may give someone a high position, like you're my Guru Maharaj. Or Siksha Guru, at least, you know. You don't want to be connected with this person forever and ever. Siksha Gurus are like, you know, you can substitute them. According to the need. And then so you give someone a position. Of course, if you're in a business field, then you may give someone. I remember I was the temple president in Caracas, Venezuela, and it was hard to get devotees to cooperate. So eventually, I gave people different positions in the temple. They were simply a name only, and then they would put a plaque on the door. I'm in charge of cleaning the bathrooms. Not really. That so these are political stuff. This is political stuff. And then if that doesn't work, let's see, a high position, then there's a threat after that. Then you threaten the person. And then if that doesn't work, then there's something called argumentum ad baculum. You take the stick and you beat them. So here, getting back, so you have to learn how to, all these things, you know, if you're going to function as a nice devotee. Yeah, like I was talking to devotees yesterday, and I'm not going to talk about where it was or anything like that, so don't draw any conclusions. They said, you know, we have trouble dealing with the authorities. I said, don't confront them head on. It's stupid. This is just that they have a need for autonomy. You're threatening their need for autonomy. So implying empathic communication in politics. So like Chandika Pandit says, don't trust what? Politicians. I'm not gonna mention the other things, well, Chandika Pandit said. He said, don't trust politicians. So anyway, I said, don't do that, you know, just speak sweet words and do these other things. And then say you're cooperating. Don't cooperate. Sorry. Say you're, do something and get permission for it later. I said, that's the ISKCON method. Anyway, getting back to the story, it's just a little joke along the way, is that Lord Ramchandra was threatening and actually getting ready to really dry up the ocean completely. And he could have. And so the ocean comes out and says, okay, don't dry me up, because if you dry me up, it's going to destroy all the balances of nature, you know. Talk about global warming. That would be the worst possible thing. That would have been global warming several million years ago. You know, because the ocean's dried up. I mean, what's going to happen then? Everyone will fry at that point, and the fish, you know, poor fish. And so then the ocean says, okay, you're God. Here's the thing, here's the deal. Just have the monkeys write on each and every stone your name, and that stones will float. And so the monkeys, and also bears, there were not only monkeys, there were bears too. And the monkeys and bears started carrying all the stones. Incidentally, at that point, when they had the bridge almost finished, Hanuman thought he'd pick up a really big stone, so he actually picked up Govardhan Hill. Not from Vrindavan. Govardhan Hill was in the mountains at that particular point. And Drona, I think the Drona Chalo Mountains or something like that. And then he picked up Govardhan Hill and was getting ready to bring it to help make the bridge to Lanka. And then he heard Lord Ram's voice, and Lord Ram said, "No, we already have enough stones. Put the hill down." So this is, it's very interesting. So actually, there's several stories about the appearance of Govardhan or the manifestation of Govardhan in Vrindavan. So he said, "Put the hill down," and Hanuman just happened to be right above Vrindavan, Braj. So he put the hill down there. So anyway, so they built the bridge to Lanka, and they crossed. So that's the first point we wanted to talk about, which is a wonderful story. Second point was really what I wanted to discuss, was about Ravana being considered the urine of Vishrava. Now, Prabhupada in his purport is basically quoting from Chanaka Pandit. Chanaka Pandit said, if you have a son and he's neither a learned person or a devotee, he can be considered mutra, is the word. What does mutra mean?
Urine.
Urine. That's heavy. And, of course, the other word is what?
Putra.
Putra. The word for son in Sanskrit is putra. But why is it putra? Because putra means one who can save you from where?
Hell.
Put. Putrayate, just like we have the word mantra. Mana. Tra. It frees the mind by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, a putra saves you from hell. Or as Prabhupada said, a putri. What's a putri? Daughter. Or as I would say, putrini. Let's say a daughter or a son who is a devotee can save you from going to hell. Not only save you, but like 10 generations of your family from going to hell. Just like all of you are doing that for your family members. I remember when I joined the movement, that was one of my favorite concepts. Because my mother would call me and say that, you know, you're destroying my life. You should come back. I'm going to die any day now because of you. And I thought, okay, if she dies, she'll be thinking of me. And she'll go back. At least she'll take birth as a devotee in your next life. So completely heartless, you know, no compassion, no empathy. Okay, you're going to die. Because I'm liberating my family, I'm doing the best. And I told my mother that. I said, not that, okay, you're going to die. I said, I'm doing the best thing. You don't understand right now. Because she thought the best thing is I become a doctor and serve her in that way by increasing the prestige of the family. So, a putra is one who actually frees the parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, etc., like that. So, it's very interesting. How does one become a putra and how does one become a mutra? There's actually two things that determine, and we're going to tell the story of Ravana's birth right now in this regard, but there's actually two things that determine a child's quality. One is called nature, and the other one is called nurture. And both are important. And in one sense, I would say nurture is more important than nature. Because we do have experience of people who were born in the darkness of ignorance who become great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like I think most of you, probably every one of us, none of us had devotee parents, did we? So what were we taught from our very birth?
Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
More than that, you know, eat anything that moves or doesn't move. Like right now in America, there's a whole, you know, there's a whole movement to eat worms and bugs and everything. What's so bad about that? You're eating cows. I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned, you know, people eating dogs, and you go, ew! And eating bugs, ew! But I'd rather you eat bugs than cows. Because if you eat a bug, it's not a big problem. You just become a bug in your next life. What's the problem? One life is a bug, and then a devotee steps on you, and you take your next birth. It's a human being. But if you eat a cow, guess what? Anybody know what happens?
Yes, many hairs. There are
many
hairs.
Every hair is on the cow.
So how many hairs on a cow?
For every hair, you have like
how many hairs are there?
Millions.
You never count them. Since every hair, you got to take a cow birth. Oh my God. So anyway, so we were born in the darkness of ignorance. And we did, all of us, we did so many vulnerable things. But by Prabhupada's association, we actually became, or trying to become, or at least acting as devotees. Maybe we're not. But at least we're putting a good show on of being devotees. So there's that nurture, you know, an association. Let's talk more about that association. Like Krishna says in the Gita, what does he say? Karnam guna sangasha sadasad janma jonisru. The one actually becomes a particular way by associating with modes of nature. And sometimes you experience, if you go to a particular place, you feel different. Your personality changes. Isn't it? It changes. You become a different person, a rakshasa again. So, karnam guna sandasha sadasa chadma jonishu. So, and then there's the opposite type of story, where we have Krishna had a son who was had really good genes, because he was Krishna's son, with the earth planet, Bhumi. And the son was really a cool guy. His name was Bhoma. And he had bad association, and he became such a demon that he kidnapped all these girls. But it was good, because these girls were the ones that Krishna later on married, so. So he performed service for his father. And his father had to kill him. Krishna had to kill him. So here's, you know, the opposite thing. So all right, let's talk about our friend Robin now. Which is interesting, because Robin had a good father. His father's name was Vishrava, as we heard in this verse. And Vishrava was such a good guy. I mean, a completely pure Brahmin. And he was the father of a great demigod named Kuvera. You know, in charge of the bank accounts in the heavenly planets. And so, you know, here's the Shravas, he has this ashram, nice brahmacharis, he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You know, completely absorbed in the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but then, the demons, they are very upset because basically they've been defeated many times and they're not so powerful at this particular juncture. So they want to get a more powerful demon. So when you want a super demon, you have to use genetic engineering. Right? Why not? I mean, like nowadays, you know, they talk about changing your genes, inserting something. Don't worry, the vaccine doesn't change your genes. It's mRNA, which doesn't go into the nucleus of the cell. I have scientific background. It's mRNA, which means messenger RNA. It carries messages. And the messenger doesn't go back. That messenger doesn't go back into the nucleus, is where the DNA is. So if you actually want to change someone's nature, you've got to go into the DNA, which they're doing nowadays. That's cool. So, you see Frankenstein? And then we have Frankenfoods now, too. You know, GMO foods. That's where they alter the genes, the genome inside the nucleus. And for example, just to have nice shiny tomatoes, what type of gene would they put in there? Fish gene. Oh. True. You see, go to the supermarket, you see this tomato or tomato, depending on how you pronounce it, is so nice and shiny. Well, you don't see the scales on the outside of it. But that's some fish genes. Anyway, so it's hard to be a vegetarian nowadays, isn't it? So, I mean, all this corn, too, is obviously GMO corn. A lot of it's GMO corn. And what to speak of the insecticides, they're spraying everywhere, and the weed killers and everything. Very healthy life we have nowadays. So anyway, so these demons, they wanted to do some genetic engineering and create a super demon. So rather than starting from scratch, you know, just like putting the two genes together, they thought, we'll crossbreed. We'll get a powerful man and a powerful lady. And the nice thing is that when you get a demon from a man and a lady, the demon, if it's a man, takes on the qualities of the mother. So they called for this nice demoness. Sorry for using these non-empathic terms. I have to apologize. It's Bobatone class, you know. We have to diagnose everybody. So they called for this nice demoness called Kekasi. And she's really gorgeous. She may be a demoness, but she's really up there, you know. Anyway, and they say, we have a mission for you. And she said, sure thing. You're going to save your race, the demon race. We want you to get married to Vishravas. It's actually in the Valmiki Ramayana, he's called Vishravas, and here in the Bhagavatam it's called Vishrava, but it's basically the same thing. So we want you to get married and have children. So she says, yes, sir. So she goes to the ashram. Vishrava, or Vishravas, is meditating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she comes up to him and says, again, you know, hi. I'm not going to imitate her. And he says, what do you want? She says, I want some kids. He says, not me, I'm a Brahmin. She says, well, I love you. I don't know exactly what went on. I'm a sannyasi, how would I know this stuff? And then he gets married to her. You know, they have a marriage. It's not just like an illicit affair. And the brahmacharis in the ashram, because he has a whole bunch of brahmacharis in the temple, the ISKCON temple. So they say, Guru Maharaj is married to Rakshasini. It causes a little problems of faith, you know. You imagine. You know, he was already married. He wasn't a sannyasi, so it wasn't a fall down in that particular sense. But imagine, you know, you have your Guru Maharaj there, and then, I'd like to introduce you to my wife. Kekasi. And they started having children, and of course the children were Ravana, Kumbhakarna, you know, a whole variety of different types of children. Serpanaka, which we talked about yesterday, and Vibhishan. And they basically had these demoniac qualities. As I mentioned yesterday, Serpanaka wasn't so bad. She was just sort of caught in bad association. And you may ask why Vibhishan became so powerful or pious, that is, because he also had some good association. And by that good association, he transformed. Of course, he was by nature a devotee anyway, because Krishna put him in that situation. But still, it was demoniac blood. So he became transformed in great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And he described that when he was talking to Hanuman, Hanuman was saying to him, how do you live in this, such a situation? You're chanting Ram's name, and all these people are demons. They hate God around. They're all around you. He said, I'm living like the tongue between the teeth. You know, tongue, teeth. You bite your tongue sometimes. So he was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And similarly, we find Prahlad Maharaj, that's another story, who basically, he had demoniac genes too. His mother, Kayadu, was not exactly a devotee. And his father, Mr. Goldband, Mr. Goldbed, was not exactly a devotee either. But Prabhupada said, demoniac blood flowed in his veins. And you actually see later on in the family how some of his descendants exhibited demoniac qualities. But they weren't killed by Krishna. They were actually saved by Krishna, because Krishna had promised Prahlad Maharaj that he would never kill any of Prahlad Maharaj's descendants. Like you have Banasura, who's definitely exhibiting demoniac qualities. You know the story, Usha and Anivruta. I'm not going to tell that story because it's a long story. But you have Banasura. Bali Maharaj had conquered all over the universe. You know, he was also a descendant. So you have all these descendants of Prahlad Maharaj, because there were genes there. Sorry about that. But so the point I'm making is that by association, or association is the most important thing. If we can give people good association and not consider people to be inherently demons, then somehow or other, even, as Prabhupada would often say, by hook or by crook, you give people association. That's what we do, Harinam, you have your Padyatra here. People don't know. Prabhupada even said in regard to the book distribution one time, it's like the poison entering the bloodstream. They don't know. You know, you give them, like nowadays people think you get the vaccination and you get, you're killing you or something. So, it's all crazy. Or they're putting a microchip in you. That's crazy. You know, one time there was, devotee was going to take her cat to the vet. And there was some people who said, they'll put a microchip in your cat. And I said, well, they're going to monitor. Someone up there is monitoring all these microchip cats. Listening, you know, talk about conspiracy theories. Listening to everything your cat says. Meow. What does that mean? You know, or my cat is spying on me, you know. So people have all these conspiracy theories, you know, that Bill Gates is putting a little microchip in you so he can find out where you are. I mean, sometimes I do put microchips in disciples, but that's another. I put things that, not microchips, but I actually put little apps, hidden apps in their phones. So I can see where they are. Okay. Primit is there. Brajalina is there. They do have an app. So, anyway, so by giving people association, book distribution, or Harinam, or Prasadam, then we can do something like Prabhupada said, in like a pin, out like a cloud. Their consciousness changes, even without them being aware of it. Like I mentioned the other day, how I first came in contact with Krishna consciousness, hearing Prabhupada on the radio. My consciousness changed. I mean, who would know? It was just some new age radio station that was playing Prabhupada chanting. And I was just an innocent demon, trying my best to eat, sleep, not me. Eat, sleep, defend, go to the university, make money, be happy, drive my sports car. I had a sports car. I had an MG Midget. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, I know MG.
MG, you know, I was in bliss. Enjoying life like anything, you know. It's a convertible waving to all the girls. Just like that. I was like that, you know, going down the street. You know, eat your heart out. You know. And then all of a sudden I hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And my life becomes spoiled, ruined, finished. I can no longer enjoy this world. Like Prabhupada said that, you know, we've spoiled people's material life. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that. Our business is to spoil people's material happiness. Because the Bhagavad Gita says you can never really go back. Mm. Because every time you try your best, Krishna's in the back of your mind saying, Dikaliyama Shashvatam. Mm-hmm. It's all temporary. Oh my God. Just be quiet, Krishna. So anyway, so that's the point. Association is the most important thing. And if we give people association in a compassionate way, not forcing it down people's throats and trying to impede their sense of autonomy, then we can be successful in spreading Krishna consciousness. So, any questions or comments, Mom? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I can ask a question about the nature of a child.
Yeah.
About the importance of
Garbhaka Samskara? Yeah. Okay. Yes. I stressed nurture more than I did nature. However, nature is very important because the consciousness of the parents at the time of conception attracts a certain living entity. Just like you see the story, Diti's story, our nice mother, Diti and Kashyapa. Diti had the wrong consciousness and things weren't done auspiciously, and as a result she had a nice little, two nice little boys. What were their names? Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu. So consciousness is very important because we attract, not only do we attract like at the time of conception a particular type of soul, but we attract other people to us by having certain types of consciousness.
Hmm.
It's like this whole thing. You heard of it, like The Secret?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Secret. Ooh. You know, of course, they portray that as if you really want a sports car and you dream about it and you think about it 24 hours a day, one, you can get it. It doesn't work like that. I mean, half works like that if you have good karma. But if you have bad karma, all you're going to find is it's like not even a Yugo. You just find a skateboard outside. Not even an electric skateboard, just like, you know, broken wheels or something. So, but it's a fact that by our consciousness, we attract certain people. Certain people will be attracted to us by our consciousness. So that's the secret. So, anyway, so at the time of conception, yes, it's important for the parents to have the right consciousness. My parents didn't have the right consciousness. What can I say? We wanted a nice little demon. Please, my dear Lord, please send us a demoniac creature.
Oh my God.
And that's what Kekase was pegging for at the time. I'm sure at the time of conception she was thinking, I'm doing this only for you, my dear demon brothers and sisters. Please send a powerful demon. So that, oh, getting back to the point. So Ravan was a combination of a Brahman and a Rakshasa, which is called a Brahma Rakshasa. I didn't describe that. Because that's the most powerful Rakshasa you can get. It was a Brahma Rakshasa. So the demons achieved what they wanted. Pretty cool, isn't it? So, anyway, so yes, the Garbhadan Sanskara is very important. So the Garbhadan Sanskara is basically the process of fixing up the parent's consciousness at the time of conception. And Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, it's 50 rounds or whatever, but yeah, the main thing is the consciousness. You know, one can chant 50 rounds just to get them done. Finish 50 rounds. Just because you're so lusty. But it's the quality of consciousness that's important. And then the right type of child will be delivered. But the parents have to have the right training for the child, too. You know, there's danger for the children, because the children, in the beginning, of course, they associate with the parents and they emulate the parents. But after some time, they take as their role models their friends in school. And that's a danger. Because children and adults function on the basis of role models. You understand role models? People you want to emulate. So, I remember when I was young, I mean, I had some good role models from a materialistic standpoint. I used to admire firemen, you know, firemen. And a lot of the cartoons I watched, sorry, I did watch cartoons, not Krishna conscious cartoons, and movies I watched, they actually portrayed heroes, you know, who would go and sacrifice themselves. Nowadays, of course, the movies and cartoons are not exactly like that, is it?
No.
You know, just like you look at a movie, sorry about this, for those of you who are brahmacharis and you don't have to listen. So just like if you look at the movie like The Matrix, you haven't seen that. before Krishna got it. Okay. I saw it after Krishna. So you take a movie like The Matrix, in which you have Neo, right? And he sacrifices himself. And so I was exposed to stuff like that when I was young. And the whole idea, you know, sacrifice yourself for others, sacrifice yourself for others, be ready to die for others, be a fireman. You know, at that time the police were very much admired. Before in America they have to defund the police. But anyway, so I was brought up with that consciousness. So naturally when I came to Krishna consciousness, then I got my role model, Prabhupada, which is in the same mood, in the same mode. Mm. Sacrifice yourself for others. Jai, Hari Bol. And that really helped me tremendously, even that mundane association or mundane role models that I had. So children do have role models. And I've seen in the case where we have children who have become Krishna conscious or are Krishna conscious in our movement is because they've looked up to some older devotee, you know, whether it's the guru or whether it's some old devotee, and they take that older devotee as a role model. Like I was just talking to one of my really youngest up, Ishwara Puri, Ishwara Chaitanya. And he said, you know, I was embarrassed. He said, can I look at a picture when I'm chanting Dhamma? I said, sure, you know, a picture of Krishna. No, I said, I want to have a picture of you. You know, I'm thinking, hopefully it's a nice picture with the right profile. I got to put my makeup on before. But, you know, I'm just thinking, wow, what a great responsibility I have. You know, just to really try to be Krishna conscious and not watch so many movies. But, like Matrix. What other movie do I have? I haven't seen any other, basically. What other movie have I seen?
Star Wars,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I have to admit, this is confession time. So, but I'm thinking, when I hear that, you know, first of all, I have a great responsibility, and then that's really the way to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Because if you know, you say you want to be Krishna conscious, you want to be liberated, you don't want to become a dog in your next life. I mean, that's not really down to earth enough for most people, isn't it? I mean, but become a dog, at least I can watch TV all day long. As you know, a rich man, you know, because that's what they do in America. You know, here it's something different. The dogs are in cages. I wouldn't want to become a Slovenian dog. I want to become a dog in America. Because they're in the house, they get to sleep in the bed with the master. That's America, you know, come to America and enjoy. I remember, you know, I had that life too, you know. I was in bed and my dog would be right next to me, kissing me at night, giving me a good night kiss, you know. isn't that America? So, yeah, we're more civilized anymore. We see, you know, Krishna in everyone's heart. You're distinguishing. You're discriminating too much, you know. Giving designations, you know, diagnosing. You're a dog, you're a human being, that's a diagnosis. So anyway. So,